Welcome to the Big Fresh Choice Literacy Podcast. I'm Ruth Ayers, the editor behind the scenes at the Choice Literacy site. I love our community because we advocate for every teacher as an expert professional in the classroom. We believe students should have a choice and voice in what they read and write. Our podcast highlights the weekly newsletter, including a full article on a timely topic. You'll find the best tools and latest ideas, plus get to know our contributors who are just as funny and smart as you. Most importantly, keep your soul aloft as you empower student choice and voice in your corner of the world. Heather Fisher was inspired by a shopping trip with her young son for this week's lead essay.
Are You Sure? Written and read by Heather Fisher. We entered the jam-packed school supply aisle at our local department store in search of a new backpack. In a few short weeks, my son would be heading to preschool, his very first schooling experience. To build his excitement for the start of the school year, I told him that he could choose his own backpack from a wide variety displayed at the store. Holding his hand, we walked up and down the aisle as I began calling his attention to different backpacks. Ooh, look at the cool shapes and patterns on this backpack. Check out the color combinations on this one. One by one, I picked out the backpacks that I liked and secretly wanted him to choose. I felt like a car salesman trying to sell him the latest and greatest backpack with all the bells and whistles. But with each backpack description, he just smiled and said, "Oh." And then he spotted it. The backpack, covered in characters from a popular movie with a touch of hologram effect. Interestingly enough, it is one of the backpacks I failed to mention in my sales pitch. He excitedly grabbed it off the wall hook and hugged it close. "I want this one," he said to me, smiling ear to ear. "Are you sure?" I asked him hesitantly. I held up another backpack and said, "What about this one?" "This is the one I want," he assured me. We continued making our way through the store, picking up additional school supplies along the way. Still unsure that he made the right backpack choice, I periodically stopped and asked, "Are you sure this is the one you want?" Each time, he responded with, "Yes, it is the one I want." So we purchased the backpack, along with the other supplies, and headed home. As my son walked in the door, he threw the backpack straps over his shoulders and said, "See, Mommy? It fits. This is the right one for me." Choice is a term used in education on a daily basis. We know that choice helps increase motivation and engagement in our readers and writers. Hence why I gave my son his choice in backpacks. So we give students the choice in books to read, topics to write about, and places to do this work in the classroom. But are the choices we give our students really choices for them? Our school year is filled with choices for students to make. Let's remember to offer these choices for students with sincerity and fairness. Let's remember to showcase a variety of options for students, considering who our students are, what interests them, and makes them smile. Let's remember that the choices are not about us, but about our students, as they find what fits them as learners along their educational journey.
Our articles and videos feature full-time teachers and literacy leaders who spend every day in classrooms. Classic Classroom content is updated continuously with 4 to 6 new features published each week. This week, our members will find new thinking about publishing routines. In the article, Small Group Instruction, Bookmaking, Brian Seppi shares one of his favorite activities for small groups of young learners, making books together. Gretchen Schrader's high school students build community by creating a shared text of things they love. Gretchen describes the process in the article, A Student Book of Awesome. In this week's video, Melissa Atwood leads a first grade guided reading group. This is the second video in a two-part series. In an encore video, Beth Lawson helps her fourth grade students work through a checklist of items to prepare for publishing early in the fall. Our contributors are listening and looking hard for those spontaneous, teachable moments when they can move a child forward as a reader and writer. Each week, we offer free articles to empower all educators to do the same. In Text Lineages, Christy Rush Levine uses book covers to help her middle school students explore their histories or lineages as readers. On WonderTeacher.com, Susan Antonelli offers 8 tips for a great publishing party. Jeanne Wolz on TeacherOffDuty.com shares over 50 ideas for publishing student writing at the end of a writing workshop. Claire Landrigan and Tammy Mulligan are using reading notebook covers in ingenious ways. Using Notebook Covers for Reflection and Goal Setting by Tammy Mulligan and Claire Landrigan. When you walk into grades 3 to 6 classrooms during writing workshop, the covers of writing notebooks are often filled with photos, images, and quotes that remind young writers of stories in their lives. Right there on the cover, we see what is important to this writer. We learn a bit about their lives, their interests, and their passions. The cover of the writing notebook is also a tool writers use when they are unsure what to write. The covers of the writing notebooks give us important information about the learners and serve as tools writers use when searching for new topics. What about the cover of the reading notebook? Can the cover help us learn about our students' reading lives? Can the cover be a tool to set learning goals? We decided to use the front of the reading notebook as a place for students to reflect on their reading lives, and the back as a place for goal setting. To jumpstart this process, we asked students to think about where they have come from as readers and how their reading lives have changed. Here are a few questions we ask readers to consider. What were your favorite read-alouds at home or at school? What do you like to read now? What did you like to read when you were younger? What was one of the first books you read on your own? What types of digital reading do you like to do? Where do you like to read? Who are your favorite authors and/or characters now? What authors and/or characters did you enjoy when you were younger? Readers collect photos and images from their reading lives and organize them on the front of their notebooks. We also created our own notebooks so that we could share our reading lives with students and use them to model the process. Here are the covers of our reading notebooks. For Tammy, one turning point book was Nickeled and Dimed in America, so she placed it in the middle. This is the first book she read when she joined a book club almost 11 years ago. This book helped her broaden the types of books she reads, so she keeps it at the center of her notebook to remind herself to continue to try new things. Tammy also added pictures of her family reading and pictures of the two of us with famous children's book authors. We show this cover to students so that they can see that reading is not just what we do at school. It is a part of our lives. She also included photos of her Kindle app on her iPad and blogs she reads regularly. We want to make sure we show students that she reads in many different forms. The rest of the books on the cover are ones she wants to share with teachers and students during the upcoming school year. She intentionally chose books for K to 6 students since we work in all of those grade levels. Claire has The Firm placed in the middle of her reading notebook. This book reminds her of when she first became a wild reader. When she joined her husband's family vacation for the first time, she learned about their tradition. The night before they leave for Cape Cod, they all go book shopping, in stores, in libraries, and in each other's homes. Everyone packs a bag of books and reads on vacation. Green Eggs and Ham is a book her mother always read to her, even though she stuttered and the rhymes were difficult for her. Although her mom has dementia, she can still recite the lines from this beloved text. Harry Potter is the series her family listened to as they drove cross-country one summer. She also included photos of her Audible app to share the books she listens to. The rest of the books on the cover are ones she wants to share with teachers and students during the upcoming school year. She intentionally chose books for K to 6 students since we work in all of those grade levels. The images on our notebooks tell the stories of our reading lives and help us remember how we have grown and changed. This is important information we want to know about our students. Their images will open up conversations about reading, spark conversations between students, and help students realize how much they have already learned. We want our students to think about where they have been so they can set meaningful goals. Setting new goals. The back of the notebook we reserve for setting learning goals. As we launch reading workshop during these first few weeks of school, we share with students possibilities for learning. We share our reading goals and talk about how we hope to use our reading notebook over the course of the year. Here are some questions we pose to help students think about their own learning goals. What are you hoping to do more of as a reader? What would make reading easier and more enjoyable? Would learning new ways to solve tricky words make reading more enjoyable? Would learning strategies to help you focus interest you? What about strategies to help you know what to do when you are unsure what is happening in the book? What seems to get in your way when you are reading? As students think about their answers to these questions, we also share the goals we posted on the back of our notebooks. These are goals we can share with students to help them think about their own learning. Tammy posted pictures of the Skim newsletter and Time magazine because one of her goals is to read more about current events. Baby Mouse is on the notebook because this fall she wants to read lots of graphic novels. She has also included pictures of Padlet and Kidblog because we want to try out some new digital tools. Claire posted pictures of some articles she is reading to research a topic she wants to write about. She also has a picture of Tennessee. One of her dearest friends just moved there, and she wants to learn more about the area. Rutabaga, the adventure chef, is on the notebook because she is organizing a graphic novel book challenge and wants to read more of this genre. She also included pictures of Corculus and QR codes because we are learning about these digital tools. As readers see our goals, ponder their answers to our questions, participate in interactive read aloud lessons, and watch as we show ways to use a reading notebook, they set some beginning goals. The students find images to represent their goals and paste them on their notebooks. These images spark important conversations about learning. As we look at these goals with students, we ask these questions. Why did you choose that goal? What are you hoping to get better at as a reader? What is your least favorite part about reading? What is easy about reading? What is difficult? How can we best support you this year? Let's look at this assessment data together. How does it compare with the goals you set for yourself? After students have had time to think about goals, their first entry in their notebook is a reflection about the front and/or back covers. We want students to take a few moments and write why they chose those particular images. These entries, along with our classroom conversations, give us a window into understanding students and a chance for students to understand themselves as learners. The reflections help learners take a step toward taking charge of their own learning. As we listen to student goals and read their entries, we can weave their ideas about learning into classroom plans to create meaningful reading experiences for the students. We believe that by beginning with reflection and goal setting, we are setting up our notebooks to be a reflective tool all year. Now, as we learn new reading strategies, readers can revise and refine their goals and reflect on the progress they have made. Our Leaders Lounge is dedicated to literacy coaches and school leaders. Our contributors share their best advice for working one-on-one with teachers in coaching cycles, hosting professional development sessions, and designing demonstration lessons and study groups. Our Literacy Leader members will find 2 to 4 new features each week. This week, in Coaching in a Time of Crisis, Kathy Meir explores some of the new routines literacy coaches have put in place as they move between live and remote guidance of teachers. Kathy thinks deeply and plans with intention. A member emailed a response to this week's newsletter with gratitude for the practical tips Kathy offers in this article. In this week's Coaching Minute, literacy coach Jen Court finds the best way to ease into a cycle with a reluctant teacher is to focus on the students and data. She also works to build a relationship with the teacher throughout the day. I think coaching minutes are a fun feature on the site because it's wise, practical advice in just a minute. On the blog, Let's Grow Leaders, Karen Hurt and David Dye share 6 practices to keep remote work from stealing your life. Choice Literacy is a proudly independent community. We are not associated with any commercial publisher. We don't recommend packaged or scripted programs. Our contributors write for educators just like themselves, who are figuring things out by listening to students and reflecting on each day. Thanks for joining me for the Big Fresh Choice Literacy Podcast. I'm Ruth Ayers, the editor of the Choice Literacy site. Next week's theme is honoring identity. You can find links to all of the articles discussed in the show notes or sign up for the Big Fresh newsletter so you can have the links delivered directly to your inbox. Keep offering choice and voice to students in what they read and write. And don't forget to keep your soul aloft. Shine on, everyone.